Hello and welcome to the only show that almost made it a full year with each of our three hosts. I'm Luke.
Not Max.
And Matt's not here right now. But this
it's still force for thought. Yeah. Why did you have to make that sound so depressing?
Because it is depressing.
He didn't quit on us.
He did not quit. Matt had his baby. Congratulations, Matt.
Congratulations.
Snaps for Matt becoming a father. Our host, our producer gave him a very generous paternity leave, which honestly, as a listener slash viewer, you probably won't notice because we have a ton backlogged. And so sometimes Matt won't be here. Sometimes I won't be here for similar reasons. And it'll be sporadic and oddly timed. So there's no way for you to keep track. But as of today, Matt, or as of a couple days ago, a couple weeks ago maybe, when this drops, Matt is officially a father, and he is on paternity leave. I have talked to our producer a little bit about my paternity leave, because I'm also having, growing my family later this summer, and each time our producer just sends me that gif from Lord of the Rings, where the troll is raising the black gate, and that orc is whipping it, and she says nothing else, so...
We'll see
how it comes up. Matt must have a better relationship with her.
She keeps texting me. She's like, did we approve this? I'm just like, no, just send him the GIF again.
Don't like that. We'll see how it pans out. So this is a segmented episode, so we can shoot the ship a little bit. Happy for Matt. Have you been reading The Living Force? It released.
It has released. I have not. No, I've been meaning to get it because I haven't got the audiobook version. I wanted to get the physical format.
That's released too.
I know. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But I remember when you said it came out and you started listening to it like within the hour.
Yes, I'm about halfway through it. I'm liking it so far. I don't want to get too into it because we'll review it in full. But I will say, do you remember when we were talking to John Jackson Miller and I asked him if his characterization of Ki-Adi Mundi is going to be such that Ki-Adi Mundi is a dickhead?
You phrased it very nicely. Differently. Correct. Because we were very, you know, conscientious of who we were speaking to. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to be like, hey, one of your characters is a dick. But you did go about it very diplomatically and basically say, I'm not usually very fond of that character. And he was like, oh, you'll like him in this.
Well, that's not exactly what he said, because he was very coy about it. And he was like, oh, well, you'll have to read the book. Ha ha ha. And I got to say, I am very validated in my opinions on Ki-Adi Mundi halfway through this book. I think John Jackson Miller and I are on the same wavelength.
Serious?
Yeah.
John Jackson Miller, after all this time he's been listening to our podcast, like, yes, these guys get it. Ki-Adi Mundi is a dick.
Honestly, we'll talk about it more once you read it and we review it, but he's not really the hero of the story.
Wow. That is very surprising. I'm so excited to read it now. Okay. Right.
As you should be. It's also a really good book. I'm really enjoying it. But lastly, for Shoot the Ship, we talked last month or so
at some point
about Blue Milk and how it was coming out, and we have some here in the studio. Would you like to try it? Neither of us have tried it. I bought it. Our producers prepared it for us. If you're watching on YouTube, it's right here next to me, and I'm gonna pour us both a glass.
Please do. As you're I saw you pouring it into your fancy decanter. For those of you who aren't watching, Luke has a very fancy decanter specifically for this milk. And I had so many questions that I wanted to save for pod. First off, where did you get this from? Did you find it at the Meijer?
The Blue Milk?
Yeah, or did you have to go to...
My mother-in-law found it for me at the Meijer. She had to specifically ask for it because it was not out.
Serious?
Mm-hmm. And the person was like, oh, I'll go check the back. And he actually came out with Blue Milk.
That surprises me so much that this person actually went to check for Blue Milk.
Yes.
That 100% sounds like something this person would turn around immediately and be like, what the fuck? I don't know, lady. I'm not
exactly,
gonna...
yeah. Because I'm sure they were right next to the milk. And if I'm this employee, I'm like, well, we have milk. And she just had to say, like, oh, no, I want the blue Star Wars milk. And he'd been like, yeah, okay, I'll check.
I'm so curious. I got to smell it. Because we still don't know yet. We've never tasted it. Unless you can tell from reading the description. Does it say it has a flavor?
I never did read it that clearly, but I did get the actual True Moo Blue Milk. It inspired pour the power of protein. Blue-colored vanilla low-fat. Vanilla? Vanilla's not in white milk.
I don't think milk is vanilla flavored. It's just milk.
We always joke about that with like because of ice cream and stuff. All right,
well, we'll see.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, that's not regular white milk.
That's interesting.
There's something more. It is vanilla, now that I know it. That is interesting. Wow. I don't think I like it more than white milk.
I was going to say, I think I do.
You do?
Yeah, I think I would definitely drink a glass of this over a glass of white milk.
It's like candied white milk, but not chocolate milk, and it's definitely not better than chocolate milk.
Well, we're testing milk, so we got to put it through its paces. So we do also have some cookies to try with it, and Cap'n Crunch, but all of my spoons were dirty, so we will be using forks, which I guess kind of defeats the purpose of it, because we're not going
to
get any milk.
You'll have to really soak it. Yeah. Our producer dropped the ball on the spoon preparation. That is an excellent cookie.
We're not sponsored, but if Kirkland was looking to sponsor us, I'm pretty sure all of this food comes courtesy of them at full price.
All right. I'm going to pour it into my cereal. That's funny. I thought one of us had a spoon and one of us had a fork. We both have forks.
You know, I was going to joke about
how... The
Force
Without Ship is falling apart without Matt. You know he'd have a spoon.
I was going to joke about how, like, you know, a cookie can't make it any worse, but that was not a great cookie.
Really? Yeah. I loved it. I had a recurring segment on my old TikTok before I started doing the Force for Thought where I would review ice cream, and I always gave it 10 out of 10 because it's ice cream. It's always going to be amazing. I feel similarly about chocolate chip cookies.
There's better and worse ice cream.
I'll be honest. This might be my first time having Cap'n Crunch.
It's like a classic cereal, though. I specifically poured us Cap'n Crunch because I feel like that was like the most universal cereal that I had upstairs.
Yeah.
I could have done Rice Krispies. I have a lot of Rice Krispies.
I've definitely had Rice Krispies before. All right. I think you'll have to do some editing around here for all this dead air of us eating this bowl of cereal, but Cap'n Crunch rocks.
Is this sound obnoxious?
This is amazing.
Is this not what people who listen to podcasts want?
Again, I don't think the blue milk really adds or detracts anything from the Cap'n Crunch.
No, you can't really tell any difference when you're eating it with a cookie or Cap'n Crunch, which is basically normal milk.
We should also bring...
But by itself, it was notable.
It was
is different
notable,
than
yes,
normal
and it's
milk.
It's not just white milk. Also, eating the Cap'n Crunch with a fork, it really does impact the experience of the milk.
That's true. You do not get nearly enough milk. Got to let it marinate a little longer.
All right.
We'll come back to it. I'll try another couple mites in about 10 minutes or so.
Let it sog up. Update. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that ship has been shot. Now let's get into Star Wars in the news. The Mandalorian and Grogu movie is set for May 22nd, 2026. What do you think about that? Real or fake?
I did not know that until I saw the Google Drive where you had that listed, and I Googled it, and yeah, it looks like that's real.
It was set in the investors board meeting, which always seems less official than like an actual press announcement about movies. This is like more of a business thing. I believe it. It's the same time, the third week in May, you know, or third to fourth week in May, which is when A New Hope came out. It's when Solo came out, and Attack of the Clones, maybe The Phantom Menace? I don't remember.
I think all of them except for the sequel trilogy, which I think they should stick with the sequel trilogy schedule. I think it should be
December
or around Christmas time, especially because of the other movies that are coming around in May.
Yes. So it's coming out May 22nd. May 1st is Avengers 3 releasing, which...
Avengers 5,
sorry.
Yeah.
But I was going to talk about how Avengers 3 released 3 weeks or 4 weeks before Solo, A Star Wars Story, and it kind of...
What's Avengers 3? Infinity War?
Infinity War. It kind of rained on the box office parade of Solo, because it was doing so well still, even 4 weeks after. But there's no reason to think that won't happen again. I know Solo had a lot of mistakes marketing and success-wise that hopefully Mandalorian and Grogu won't, but I'm not feeling any more optimistic about Mandalorian and Grogu than I was about Solo. You have to very deliberately make a marketing push different than you ever have before, where you had content on Disney Plus as a TV show. You have to tell your audience that it's going to be exclusively in theaters, and then you have to convince them that it's worth going to theaters for and not just watching it on streaming. And I think that is a very difficult task to accomplish, and I don't think this movie is going to do as well as Lucasfilm is hoping it will.
Yeah, especially this is... What did you say this comes out? 2026?
Yes.
And the last Star Wars movie would have been 2019?
Mm-hmm.
So this is 7 years later. So there hasn't been a Star Wars movie in theaters for 7 years.
Right.
Yeah, because in my head, I'm like, you know, you've already trained your audiences to associate Star Wars with December. We've talked about that before, but by the time this comes out, that's not even going to be true anymore. I mean, people are going to completely forget what Star Wars in theaters was even like, or the general time frame. So, I mean, I guess, you know, you can try to do like a hard reset and say, no, you know, Star Wars is a summer movie, so we're going to go back to trying to release it during May. But I don't know. Given that the box office failure that was Solo, it seems short-sighted to try to do it again when all the other ones were box office successes. Came out to critical, you know, mixed reviews, but
that's neither here nor there at the box in regards to the box office for these big summer movies. I mean, look at every The Rock movie that's come out in the last 15 years. They're always a hit and they're always mediocre. And I would settle for that for Mandalorian and Grogu, but I don't think we're going to get there, unfortunately. And I wish Matt was here for this conversation, because I can't believe Hollywood hasn't changed its mantra about movie releases, that they still put all of their quote-unquote big summer blockbusters in the summer months and nothing in early spring and early fall. Like, it's 2024. We don't need to bookend massive hit behind massive hit behind massive hit. We can spread it out a little bit more, don't you think?
I don't know. That's something that they definitely know that we just don't. I mean, the analytics are there. I'm sure they have plenty of research supporting, like, oh, these are the months or the times where people tend to go into the theaters more often.
But is that just because that's when they're releasing the bigger movies?
There's
at least some confirmation bias in that analytics.
That's interesting. I don't know.
All right, moving right along to not Star Wars news, which is when we cover video game news, because it's always fake and made up and changes on the whim of whatever executive at whatever, any number of like six different companies. Alas, I think today's not Star Wars news is actual legitimate news, because Star Wars Outlaws, I think, is coming out. I noticed you included a question mark next to in our notes of the August 30th release. I think that's coming out.
I think it's coming out. I put a question mark there. I have a lot of things that I want to talk about. Namely, we're kind of revisiting a conversation that we just had recently about how we are now boomers when it comes to video games, because it's just not like it was when we were kids. But the video game is set to release, like, widespread release August 30th, but you can purchase a certain, like, a gold edition, and you can get it 3 days earlier on the 27th. And there was a bunch of news about that, because they said, oh, if you buy this, it also comes with a season pass, and it comes with an exclusive mission called Jabba's Gambit or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused all sorts of uproar, because people were like, you're advertising Jabba the Hutt, but now you're saying, like, you have to pay extra to unlock that mission. And then they had to, like, kind of walk it back, and they're like, no, this is actually an additional mission involving Jabba the Hutt.
Because Jabba is in the base game.
Yes.
If you don't buy
that
DLC.
They said you get the Jabba content no matter what, but they had to, like, kind of explain that a little bit. And honestly, the more they explained it, the less interested I was. I was just like, okay, I don't like any of this. It's not. And then they had, like, other packages too. And the most expensive, I think, is for, like, $130. You get, like, multiple missions, a season pass, whatever that entails, like, multiple, like, cosmetics and skins. I don't know. It's unfortunate, but it's all just off-putting to me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's the landscape of video games right now, where they sell battle passes and cosmetics separately, and they make a ton of money for it. Video games have been relatively inflation-proof over the last 15 years. We were just playing a couple days ago Modern Warfare 3 from 2011, and I had the receipt in it, and it cost $60 in 2011. And today, a new game costs $70, and they only just increased that price like 2 years ago. So that's a very moderate change for what I would assume is a lot higher quality of a product in terms of general video games. They're bigger, more labor-intensive, higher graphic fidelity and such.
But the difference is, when you paid that amount, you got what you got. You went to the store, mm-hmm. They give you a physical disc, you put that disc in, and you were able to play. Now you pay, and then you have to spend the next 6 hours downloading the game, and then every time you play after that, you're going to have to do a quick 30-minute update beforehand, and then whatever.
Yes.
We've talked about
this
before.
There are pros and cons to that, and last time you and I and Matt were all overwhelmingly on the negative train of it, but there are some benefits to having updates on like live service games. For example, we talked about how Battlefront 2, the Classic Collection re-release, was a massive failure, and I returned it, never even played it. But I've been seeing on Reddit that they are having updates for it, and I saw one of the updates added in Ki-Adi-Mundi's voice lines, who, I don't like Ki-Adi-Mundi, as you know, but he never had voice lines in the 2005 Battlefront 2, even though all of the other heroes and villains did, and I never even thought about it, because he's such a wet towel anyway. And so, I heard the voice lines for the first time, and it was like with the 2005 Ki-Adi-Mundi character model, and I was like, wow, that sounds all correct, but like I never heard it before. And apparently, in 2005, the game released with a bug that broke his voice lines, and they just they couldn't patch it.
So it was recorded, but you didn't have
it. So it was recorded in 2005. And there was a way, if you connected to Xbox Live, you could get... That's how you got the Ventress and Kit Fisto DLC also, and they could also patch the voice line thing. But we never did that. We always played it offline, and so...
See, that's so, this is so stupid to me. Why do you need to download the game? Why do you need to download a patch to fix that, though? Even today. Like, when they re-released it, they should just say, like, oh, and it also has Kiadi Mundi's original voice lines.
That did surprise
because
me
also. Because with multiplayer games, I totally understand it. When you're playing, like, Halo or Overwatch or something, Battlefront, where you're playing, like, these massive multiplayer games, I understand that there's, like, a lot of bugs and the game breaks and you have to constantly go back in and patch things and fix it up. But if you're just playing a story, like, if I just wanted to turn on my Xbox and play Jedi Survivor, just the story, there's zero multiplayer involved. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to sit there for 2 hours updating it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same game. Right? Where's the game? Like, just give me the game. I don't know. And that's how I feel about this one, too, though, because I don't think there's a multiplayer aspect to this game. I think it's just an open world story. What does open world mean? Does that mean that there's other people in it with you, or does that mean...
No, it's the style of a single player game. It means you can navigate the world and go, like, choose your own missions and stuff.
Okay, then I stand by my point, then. After the initial download, there should be no updates required. But that's
if only. All right, moving on from Star Wars Outlaws, the Skywalker Saga is releasing in theaters for May 4th. You gonna watch it? Comes in about 21 hours. I do believe there are breaks between the films, so
no.
Me neither.
But I would like to see one or two of them. And I heard some other people talking about it, and they were saying how they're gonna be very interested to see what the box office looks like for these films, because. I mean, the sequel trilogy, you know, not people's favorites, but also you haven't given it a whole lot of time to age yet. And they were just in theaters, you know, relatively recently. Mm-hmm. So people are kind of like, yeah, those movies are going to do terrible, right? But they're interested to see, like, what the prequel trilogy does versus
well, they're not being
the original
sold separately.
Trilogy.
I believe it's one ticket for the 21-hour feature.
You don't even have an option to see them separately?
I mean, you could buy the ticket for all of them and show up
just
6 hours
it
later.
Airs, though, but that could be 2 a.m.
Yes.
If you just wanted to see Revenge of the Sith or whatever.
Yes. I imagine it starts at like 5 a.m. and ends at like 1 a.m.
Okay.
the next morning.
No, there's almost zero chance I'm going to do this then. I thought they were just re-releasing all of them like individually. Like you can go to the theaters and be like,
marathon.
I want to see Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
You could do that and time it. That'll probably play third. And so show up 4.5 hours after the start time and Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace will probably be over. I remember talking with people about that when The Rise of Skywalker came out, because they also had a marathon then in some theaters showing all 9. And I remember talking to people about like which ones they were planning on sleeping through and which ones they were planning on getting outside and seeing sunlight for. And they were like, yeah, you know, the first maybe 40 minutes of A New Hope, maybe I'll go stretch my legs and see the sun and then maybe sleep through the second half of Attack of the Clones or something. It's like. That's fair.
So early in the marathon, though. You're only 3 hours in, and now you're like, all right, well, this is the part where I'm going to nap.
I mean...
Are they showing it? I'm assuming 1 through 9?
I believe so. I guess I don't know exactly. I'm sure.
Oh, man. That would be interesting if it wasn't. I feel like it has to be.
I think it would be. All right, but that's all of our news. Did you have any other Star Wars in the news that you wanted to talk about?
Nope. I think that just about covered.
Moving right along to our main topic of the day, Star Wars Unlimited. It is a newer Star Wars trading card game. It released in March, and Max and I have been playing it for the last couple weeks. It is a trading card game. So it's like Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon or, you know, baseball cards or football cards or something like that, where the cards are sold in booster packs, a pack of 16 cards, and you can buy them, build your own deck, and play with your friends. I typically do not enjoy trading card games. That style of game I find frustrating because you've mentioned before there was another Star Wars trading card game, Star Wars Destiny, from a couple years ago that we played, and it was my idea. I was the one that found it and was like, hey, we should play this, because I remember it was 2018, the summer, because I was working a particularly low effort internship at the time, and so I spent my days just Googling stuff, and I eventually found a new Star Wars trading card game, and I was like, hey, we should all get into this. And you and some of our other friends were like, yeah, let's do it. And at that particular point in my life, so then like later that fall, 2018, because I was living in St. Louis and everyone else was in Ohio. So when I really started playing with everyone, I had spent all of my money on an engagement ring for my now wife. And you guys were all adults and buying cards. And I was like, oh, I have the starter pack. And then I just got waffle stomped. And I was like, this is not fun. I don't like this game in this manner. And so I did not like Star Wars Destiny for that reason. I would have if I had more disposable income to spend. Unfortunately, now that Star Wars Unlimited is out, I am a stay-at-home dad, and my family is rapidly growing, and so I, again, don't have that much disposable income. There was a real thick point where my wife and I were both working, and we had no kids, basically right up until from the end of Star Wars Destiny all the way up to the beginning of Star Wars Unlimited. And if there was ever a game in that time, I would have loved it. Alas, here we are. But the
so does this mean that you saved zero money?
Exactly. Yeah. Because I mean, yeah, it's coming out of Finn's college fund. But no, the community is very chill about it. I started going to my local game store, and I had the starter deck, and they give you a weekly open play pack if you go and play like at a game store, which is like three cards that all have different art, which the different art is valuable to certain collectors. And so I opened it, and it was like a R2 card, and it was R2 is one of the cards in the starter pack. And the guy sitting next to me was like, oh, that's a good R2, I'll trade you for that. And I was like, dude, R2's in the starter pack, it's like the only card I actually have. Yeah, I'll trade you for anything. And then he explained to me how the open play packs have all different art styles, and he was trying to make a starter deck of all the different art styles. And so he and one other guy there gave me 70 cards of all of their common and a lot of their uncommon, but all of their, I mean, probably more than triples, but they're four of a kind, five of a kind, six of a kinds, because the people that are into this game buy packs by the dozen, and they have most of the rare and legendary cards, and then many, many copies of the common and uncommon. So they shared a lot of their common and uncommon cards, so now I have enough cards to make a deck with and to have fun with, which is really all I'm looking for.
Yeah, the people who were into it were really into it. I mean, they bought like cases of this product, and
yes, a case would be six boxes, and a box would be 24 packs, and a pack is 16 cards.
Yeah.
So like you and I we go out and like buy one pack, and we come home and open it. We're like, ooh,
because that's all we can find. That's what I was about to get at. Is like the community is really cool. Like they're it's filled with good people. But like, I'm just so annoyed that I started getting into this like literally 1 week too late, mm-hmm. because by the time I wanted to get into it, every place was like, oh, yeah, no, we're completely sold out. Like this game sold out immediately. People pre-ordered
a bunch
of stuff.
It was the pre-release event when everything sold out. And yeah. We got there like a week later, like days after it had released.
And the game manufacturer was not expecting this type of reception, so they didn't come out with enough product. So now they're like frantically trying to like print more, just to like kind of barely keep the game alive until the next expansion comes out in like 3 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. But stores are having these shortages, and they're like, whenever they do have packs, they're like, we can only sell like six at a time. So the only thing that I have are the starter packs and five booster packs. And the good thing is I feel like the game is very well balanced. Because mm-hmm. I've played with a bunch of other people. I've played with people who have like the quote unquote meta decks that like people are already running at tournaments and stuff like that. And I'm able to hold my own with it. Like I went to an event at a local game store a couple weeks ago. We played four games and I went 2-2. And that was pretty much with a starter deck and like a handful of extra cards for my booster packs.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy that I was able to, you know, not get waffle stomped when I was showing up with my $20 deck going up against these people who are playing $1,000 decks or anything like that.
Right. My local game store has also been giving out some booster packs some weeks and not others, but yesterday or 2 days ago, I got two packs just for showing up. It was awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which is also like they cost like $5 nominally, not to mention the supply shortage. You can buy them on eBay, I think, for like $15 each because the supply is not meeting the demand. But when supply is in, it costs like $5. But if you just go to game stores and play, they give you lots of cards, which really makes it a lot more welcoming for people like me that are not into trading card games, but want to play Star Wars.
Yeah.
I asked at my game store on the other day how they feel about proxying. Have you heard of that? That's where
where people just like use fake cards and just say, like, yeah, this is Darth, my Darth Vader.
You bring in a 52 deck playing card set and take a Sharpie and write Mace Windu on one of them and then shuffle it in. It's like, all right, this is my Mace Windu. And that helps alleviate the pay-to-win elements, and, you know, you're not playing against someone's wallet, or even if you were playing against someone's wallet, the cards aren't available, so mm-hmm. it would alleviate a lot of that. The host at the game store, he always records our record every week. And I always ask, I'm like, why are you recording our record? And he says, oh, just for fun. And I'm like, but who's that fun for? Like, I don't get it.
Is that fun for you, or are you having fun with someone else?
Exactly. And so I asked, like, because the record doesn't matter. That's what he always says, that the record doesn't matter. We're just here to have fun. It's a unstructured, casual, open play. And if you come, you'll get more cards.
Deal about this, and then every time you lose, you just see him in the background shaking his head. And you're just like, what are you writing down?
It's I'm exactly having fun. Like that. But I asked about proxying. Like, how would everyone feel if I brought in, like, a regular bicycle deck of cards with just a Sharpie written on them? And the host was like, oh, yeah, you'd have to ask everyone if they're okay with it. And I got kind of drowned out because there was a game going on. But one guy standing next to me was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't care. And the judge was like, oh, you'd have to see if the group is okay with it. And I was like, but what does the group matter? Because it's just, you just tell me to play one guy. And if I talk to that one guy, that seems like that should be the end of the conversation. So I might try that. I also want to try playing it on Tabletop Simulator. But you're the only one that would play with me, and you don't want to.
No, I have zero interest in it. I don't know why. Tabletop Simulator does not intrigue me at all. We've tried playing another Star Wars game on there.
What?
Star Wars Epic Duels.
Oh, that's right. That went great because it had all the expansions that we never had growing up.
It did have all the expansions, but for some reason, I just did not like it. I was like, it's a physical board game that I'm playing online. And I don't know if it's tabletop or just the Epic Duels version that we were playing or something, but it was like there was no programming to it. Like, you still had to do literally everything. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like, oh, click a button and it'll roll the dice for you.
Right.
And
it's
it'll
not a digital
you.
Game. It's a digital tabletop, and you can take the tabletop and mod whatever game you want. Yeah. But
so you could still like mess up or just cheat, and it's like, I don't know why it bothered me. I didn't like it. And thinking of all the different things that go into this game, Star Wars Unlimited, I am not interested in playing that on simulator. I like the physical format. I like
try all these cool cards that we don't have. But then does that take
the fun
away from having
cards?
That's
what I was going to say about the proxy cards too. I wouldn't like it if someone were playing proxies with me, even though, like I said, I haven't spent much money at all on the game yet.
Would you like it if I did it? If we went upstairs in your house right now and played at your kitchen table,
it would bother me a little bit.
Why?
Only because I don't know what the cards are. So if you just pull out
with a Sharpie,
an ace of spades and just write Mace Windu, I'm like, I don't know what he does. Like, you're going to have to remind me what he does.
You write Mace Windu before you pull it. You make your whole deck.
Yeah, I understand that. But I mean, when you show me Mace Windu written on an ace of spades, I'm just going to say, like, okay, what does Mace Windu do again?
I could write everything. I could draw a little crude imitation of the art, which would not be that much worse. I do not like the art in this game. For being such a slam dunk, just like a picture of Mace Windu, it's so easy. His lightsaber's upside down. Like, what the hell are we doing? Yeah. There are mistakes in some. Others are oddly cartoonish and stylized. And, like, the style, it's one thing if you just, like, want to heavily stylize it and it's not my style. That's fine. But it's not consistent style. And there's factual mistakes, like Mace Windu's lightsaber. The Grogu card that was released has an extra finger on Grogu. Like, the artist just put in a stunning lack of research.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. And this is made by Fantasy Flight Games, who have done a lot of other Star Wars stuff in the past. They did that Star Wars Destiny game that we talked about, but they also do all of the Star Wars role-playing games and everything. Like, they have a pretty significant catalog of art and stuff. And I feel like everything that they've done has always been with very good artwork. Like, I think all the artwork from Destiny was fantastic.
I liked it, too. Fantasy Flight also made the Star Wars Pandemic game that I have, and I've played it once. It's basically just the board game Pandemic, but with a Star Wars skin. So it's better than Pandemic, but I typically don't like Pandemic. But it's been sitting out in my house now for a while, and there's a Mace Windu art on the side of the box, and it's the exact same art from his Destiny card.
Yeah, like, because they reuse it.
Why? You can't spring $25 to ask some guy to draw you a picture of Mace Windu? I have no idea how much official art costs, but I know there's a lot of artists out there.
Well, if you start cheaping out, you start getting Grogu's with extra digits. That's why they're
Well, they're already cheaping out. If you're going to cheap out anyway, just... It was Mace Windu that they messed up on in Unlimited, too.
But that's what I was trying to say, though. Like, I know they reused the artwork. Like, I've seen it in multiple games, the same
it's
thing.
It's in the tabletop role-playing game core books a lot.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I know you guys have this. Like, why is the art quality going downhill all of a sudden? But I try not to poo-poo that too much because it is very subjective, and I appreciate the fact that they are using, like, independent artists to do this stuff. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. One fun fact that I learned playing at my local game store is that some of the skins for the more valuable cards, the different ones, I had a stormtrooper, and it was like the same angle of the stormtrooper in the same pose, and I was like, if they're making a different card, why wouldn't they make it more different? Like, we see stormtroopers do lots of different things. Why is he still just standing upright in this exact pose from this exact angle? And apparently the artists got the same prompt for two different artists to make that art, and so that's just different artistic interpretation of the same prompt, and so that is neat.
How specific
and I like that.
Is the prompt, do you think?
I mean, looking at these two cards, it has to be very specific, because it's like, if the stormtrooper is standing up tall, the camera taking his picture is in front of him, to the right, and on the floor looking up at him in both of them. So it's like that exact same
shot.
You
think that was the prompt, though?
It had to have been.
They want a low angle looking up from the right of a stormtrooper.
Yeah, that's way too specific to be random, right?
I don't know. I'm curious. That's so interesting.
I mean, I think if you ask 1,000 people to draw a picture of a stormtrooper, 5 of them will make it from the floor looking up from the right. Who would take an upshot? You always draw it from at least level, right?
Artists. I mean, I know. You're talking about how you would draw it, though. You would just draw, like, looking straight at a stormtrooper.
I would.
These people are framing it and doing all this stuff. I don't know.
Another thing I really like about this game is the lore. I mean, obviously, I like
Star Wars.
But the character, the card interactions relative to what the character is or the event is spot on. So, like the leaders, Luke Skywalker, when you play him, when you attack with him, you give another character a shield because he's a protector and stuff like that. Like Chewbacca, he gets more attacking power the more damage he has on him because he gets like Wookiee rage and stuff like that. I think is really fun, and it just keeps coming up whenever I find a new card, and it's like, ah, that makes perfect sense. Like, yeah. Super laser blast, destroy all units. Yep,
that's how that
would
work.
No getting around that one.
Yeah, the flavor is really good. There's a couple that I've noticed too. Like Greedo is fun because he has like almost zero health, and so he dies immediately. But when he does, you have like a slight chance of a bonus. But
right, I also like Han's whatever action where you can add an additional resource, but then you have to pay it back later, and it's like he's going into debt. Mm-hmm. The only one that I don't like is Palpatine. Mostly because Palpatine is just very frustrating to play against. He is a super control-based deck, and he takes cards. If you're playing as Palpatine, you take the other player's cards and make them your own. And that's super frustrating. And it's not like Palpatine really does that. I mean,
he's turning them to the dark side.
Does he ever actually successfully turn someone to the... Anakin.
Anakin, that's a pretty big get.
Yeah, it is.
All of the Inquisitors.
Oh, that was all Vader. I guess we'll see, maybe...
Was that all Vader?
I guess maybe we'll see in just a couple days when Tales of the Empire comes out. Yeah. But I imagine Palpatine stopped doing anything other than trying to clone himself after Order 66. In my mind, that's when he effectively retired from all Sith and Imperial bureaucracy or to-do lists.
He said, all right, I win. I'm out.
Exactly.
I'm just going to focus on my reign from now on.
All right, is there anything else you wanted to say about Star Wars Unlimited?
No, it's a really fun game, and I encourage other people to get into it as well.
Yeah. All right, does anyone have any force for thought?
I do have a force for thought.
Okay.
I was trying to bite my tongue when we were talking about the Star Wars Outlaws game, but I noticed it again when I was rewatching the trailer for Star Wars Outlaws. One of the characters, his name is Nix, he's an assassin droid, and he wears a trench coat. And there is zero reason for a droid to be wearing a trench coat, but it is just so cool. And then it got me thinking, there is a considerable amount of droids that actually wear clothing, specifically assassin droids. The HK assassin droids and Ahsoka have capes. And there's Grievous's Magna Staff Guards, whatever they're called.
Yeah,
they have capes as well.
Wow, when you said that, I was thinking in my head, like, no, none of them wear clothes. You're wrong. But yeah, those
Grievous
are two good examples.
Cape, but Grievous is a cyborg. I mean, he has like
an
actual
cape,
heart,
though,
so I think you can...
It's not any front covering. That's just flavor.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting. I was like...
That is interesting.
The fact that they're giving...
I wonder if
these...
there are more now. Ah, that's going to keep me up at night. Those HK droids had like full cloaks.
Yeah, it was
elaborate.
They were
fully clothed.
I was like, is this supposed to be a disguise? Is it so they can put up a hood in a crowd and not have people see, like, oh, those are droids that are made to murder people?
Do you think that's what Nix is doing? He's trying to blend in?
He's also an assassin droid. He might be. But he doesn't have huge, a hood, though. He? Is he just, like, popping up his collar like like you see in the movies on a rainy day? And you're like, why are you doing that? You're not blocking the rain at all.
I have thought that before. Yeah, he's just doing the MCU character in hiding where he just puts on a baseball hat and sunglasses and it's like, oh, where'd he go?
Yeah. It's like, you mean that obvious fucking murder bot right there? Speaking of MCU, I should have brought this up earlier when we were talking about the trailer. Another thing that's kind of like maybe a little disinterested was from the trailer when they had like that weird comedic beat of her like adjusting her seat in the ship. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know why. It was like, I was like, ah, that's like a bad Marvel joke, you know? I was like, is that the tone that we're getting now in the video games too? I don't know. To me, I'm like,
that didn't bother me.
I don't know. Give me something different. I don't know.
I see what you mean, and I know a lot of people talk about that samey kind of humor in Marvel movies.
Yeah, because it's a trope. It's just played out.
It's a trope. It's kind of a bastardization of comedy in general. I mean, that's in a lot of movies. It's just most noticeable because it's in the same Marvel movie. It's the same one in a Marvel movie that you see three times a year. But
I mean, because they're the ones that made it big, right? I mean, they're the ones that started doing it, and people were like, oh, that's hilarious. And then everyone started doing it, and now people just kind of roll their eyes. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like classic Marvel humor.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's fair.
But yeah, droids wearing clothes.
Good force for thought. All right. Go ahead and give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok. Check out our YouTube channel if you're still listening to this. We are on YouTube on video every week now, and we'll see you next week.
I think we have some B-roll of Matt we can use.
Oh, thank God. I didn't know how we were going to end that.
And cut.
See you, Sammy.